Hello and welcome to Next 2.0 on WQLN NPR PBS. Next is produced by the Public's Voice Media. I am your host, Marcus Atkinson. If you want to know more about Next 2.0, you can go to Facebook, like the page. You can follow us on Instagram at Next 2.0 Erie. There you can keep up with upcoming show promos, events, and clips about what's next for our communities and our democracy. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today you are about to enjoy our first
community crossover edition.
That's right, our first community crossover edition. I've got my man Rob Davis here, my man Martin Long. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us, man. I appreciate you bringing us on the show.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You may be wondering what a community crossover edition is. It's real simple. We've got a show, they've got a show, and so this will air on our platform and on their platform. And so today we come to you live from the WQLN Next Studios down here at 1108 Parade. Rob, talk a little bit about your podcast, what it's about, where you film it. Give us the 411 on that.
Man, my name is Rob Davis, man. I'm the creator of the podcast, Let's Fail. Yeah, you heard me right, Let's Fail, F-A-I-L. And my podcast, we air from the Community Access
Media. As in, Let's Not Fail So Much.
we air from the Community Access Media studios right here on 12th Street in Erie, Pennsylvania. My show is created out of hardship, man, of just hard-worn experience of always failing and not really taking heed to the lesson. So I came up with the idea, brainstorming the idea, troubleshooting what I wanted to do on the podcast, I said, what type of service do people need? And it was motivation, man, not to give up. And I just use examples like people like Walt Disney, man, Michael Jordan, J.K. Rowling, these different type of prolific people we look at that sometime in their career they failed at succeeding at the greatest thing that they became, actors, movie animators, and sports figures and stuff. So the whole Let's Fail podcast is based upon not giving up and perseverance for real.
Yeah, yeah. Martin, talk a little bit about the concept of the show that you all do and how your personal mentality and philosophy plays into that.
Right, right. Thank you. My personal philosophy plays into that because I've also experienced a great deal of hardship throughout life as well. I'm 33 years old right now, going on 34, God willing, this year in March. I've got three children of my own. I consider myself a child of God, and first and foremost. And, you know, just the experience that I have coming to the door, there's a lot of things that I've learned more from my challenges in life, more from the things that I haven't done as well as I wanted to the first time, right? Failures, if you want to critique it that way. And the concept of the show, that's what it means to me. Like Bob said, you know, the things that we struggle with overcoming and then not giving up, but finding ways to overcome them, you know? Yeah. To me, that's the concept of the whole podcast for us in that regard.
Well, even though, you know, my show is rooted in community and we talk about everything that's going on in community, the players, the issues, the people surrounding these things, the people that are affected by these things, my personal journey in community, and I've spoke about it on multiple occasions, is born from my struggles as well.
Right.
I'll never forget, one, I'm very open about the fact that I am in therapy. There's a lot of things from my past that I have tried to overcome over the last few years, and I have been successful at doing so. It took me a long time to even come to the realization and to remove the stigma that was cool.
Right.
But I find myself in this loop where you see a loop of negative behaviors and you see, it's like, okay, I'm about to do this thing again. And I know when I do it, I'm going to make this group of people mad. I'm going to be counterproductive. I'm going to lose something, but you do it anyways. And I'm saying to myself, well, there's a loop. Can somebody help me push pause on this and come up with a new strategy?
Right.
Yeah, that's crazy you say loop, because our very first series was called Loops and Levels.
You know, and if you ain't here yet, go back and check it out, please, and thank you.
Yeah, we stream on all platforms. We on Spotify, the Apple Podcast. We on iTunes Radio, anything that you can find a podcast, we on there. But that was our whole idea, man, just like loops and levels of persevering. And also just to give the people a voice and say it's okay not to be okay.
Exactly.
You're like, it's all right to make mistakes, man. It's just about how we bounce back from those mistakes.
Right. And you know, with the stigma, especially as people of color, if you look back throughout our history, you know, powering through, if you will, that was a protective measure for us, man. You know what I'm saying? So if you look at the strength of African-American mothers, black mothers, and you look at all they withstood in order to keep their families together, take it all the way back to slavery, right? And so you've got dad in all of his dignity out there being humiliated by a slave owner.
Right.
You've got Junior watching this thing. When dad does something wrong, he's flogged or disciplined publicly so Junior can see it. So mom has to console him and encourage son while at the same time trying to protect son from master. So this protective measure of this is traumatizing, but I got to fight through. I got to hide how traumatizing it is. And I got to power through it. And I got to pretend like it doesn't affect me. That's been handed down to us by generations.
That's what we talked about too, about the loosening levels of that generational curse. Because I was just talking on the podcast, and bro brought it to mind. He said, "Bro, listen to I told a little backspin about my dad was born in the Deep South in the 40s.
Yep,
that's before segregation ended. That's the time of World War II. It's the Deep South where, like, you know what I mean, the Klansmen was rampant, you know, the torture, like, all this different type of stuff. We faced adversity. I'm like, man, like, I'm one generation removed from that because my dad was, like, raised in that. So I ain't really taking account of the fact his traumas that he passed down to me. I ain't learned how to deal and process feelings and stuff the proper way because, like, I was never taught that in the household. We was always taught to suck it up. You know what I mean? You can get through this, you know.
Boys don't cry.
You know, I know my dad loved me, but him telling me he loved me was very rare growing up, you know. But he expressed it through providing for me, taking care of me, disciplining me, those things. But to actually feel that, to actually see that, it was kind of hard as a kid growing up. Now, in hindsight, I can see that. But, like, I just correlate what you was talking about, like, what mothers took upon themselves to just suck up and deal with in those eras. And how they fast forward to our times, how it still affects us to this day, for real.
Martin, talk to that, man, because I know that when it comes to our young men, period. I want to say our young men, because Rob, you hit it. People do what they know. Whatever tools they've been given. If you've been given a wrench, a hammer, and some pliers, and that's all that's in your toolbox. I don't care if it's the plumbing that breaks down, if it's the couch that's broke. You're gonna try to break out those same three tools. This is what I got in my toolbox, man. Talk about us learning how to equip ourselves better and our young boys especially better so that some of these cycles can be broken.
Equipping. First and foremost, I mean, I look to God. You know, that's where the pain has brought me every time at the end of the journey. I end up looking up, right? And That's where my strength and my confidence comes from. And I'm getting a newfound understanding that it's not in my own self. It's in a power greater than me that's loving and caring, who chooses, not that he needs me, but he wants to work through me. And that inspires me. And then, like, I'm learning that charity starts at home. So then when I see my children, having compassion with them and you know, losing my stuff sometimes and looking back and realizing that's not what, that these aren't the right tools that I'm using and that I'm giving. And then looking to God and asking, what am I supposed to do? And then he directs me to certain words that say, be kind, be gentle, be long-suffering. You know, love is patient. Love doesn't take account of wrongs, you know. Doesn't list all the wrongs that somebody, and I start realizing these are the tools that I need to pass on to others, but I need to learn how to cultivate on myself.
That's right.
First.
That's hard.
Right.
Yeah, it's really hard. You know, this is along the lines of some of the things you brothers have talked about on your show. Give us a feel for some of the topics.
Yeah.
Because I see it leaking out in this discussion.
Man, some of the topics we hit on is why me, why me? It's basically about self-pity. Like the cycle and loosen levels of self-pity, how that keeps us stagnant, how it starts our growth as a person.
Say more about that. How'd that conversation flow?
Man, that conversation was pretty dope. We had a lot of stuff in there. But we just talked. I use a lot of I statements, bro. I don't know about nobody else's experiences but my own.
Right.
And I talks about like how most, like one example I gave, I'm the baby of 17 kids.
Wow.
You know, my dad had 12, my mom had 5, and I walked around with the self-pity, like, why y'all don't treat me like a baby?
Hold on, let me pause for emphasis. Okay. Listener, you heard that number correctly. That is 17. One and a 7.
Yeah, right? I mean, so, that's kind of crazy, because you could play a whole, like, 9-inning game of baseball
with just, you know, your siblings.
With your siblings and dad. Yeah. Mom could coach, you know, I don't know, man. That's crazy.
But no, I just, for instance, on that topic, man, we just talked about, like, I use that as an example of my realm of self-pity, my loop of my levels of self-pity of always looking to be baby, looking at other families and like, man, how you get pampered like that? And mm-hmm. I'm a baby, I don't get pampered like that. Always looking at the negatives and not really seeing that I was blessed to have a big family, for real, you know, that I was blessed to be cultivated by a family that like made me more mature, for real.
Yeah,
you know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
Because my dad always told us, man, I ain't gonna always be here for y'all, you
That's
know?
It.
So y'all gonna have to learn this the hard way or the soft way, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna talk to y'all and try to coach y'all through this, but if you don't wanna take heed, you gonna have to just repeat this loop, this cycle,
yeah,
until you figure it out.
Oh, man, man. And I had to interrupt my godfather, man. Passed away a couple of years ago. He used to say that to me all the time.
Yeah.
You know, spiritual man. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, listen, when this the way God worked. You know, you come around, you take that lap, you know, you get back to that finish line, you look over, and he make that little motion to you, take another lap. Because you ain't learned what you're supposed to learn in that lap, take another lap. And if you find, in some areas of your life, you find yourself on the 14th, 15th, 16th lap, and you're like, why am I taking constant laps? Because you didn't take the lesson yet. You didn't take the lesson. And so, like you saying, Rob.
You keep doing it so long, you make a groove.
Exactly.
You make a groove and get stuck there.
That's right.
Man.
That's right. And so whenever you taking, when you find yourself taking one lap too many on a particular topic, ask yourself, well, what are you not learning on this topic?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's the only reason you keep having to take another lap. But go ahead, brother.
I was about to say, first, then after that, our first episode was Loops and Levels. Mario came up with the definition for loops. Loops was a repetitive cycle that continues until a spiritual being matures to cultivate attitude, behavior, skills, and attributes to break said cycles. And the levels was defined as the spirit of a man is subjected to the elements around him until he learns how to subdue elements and level up. Each level that emerges provides a new opportunity of growth, you know. That was just like our definition for our first series. We spoke on what, like fatherhood? Me and Jason Roberts did the fatherhood episode where we just talking about like how important. That's why the 100 Black Man I said I want you to speak on, because that was important, because we talked about the fatherhood role in the neighborhood.
Oh, man, yeah.
Like the leadership, like how just being a father ain't just being a father to home. You know what I mean?
Right.
You a father to the block, to the school, to the community, to the basketball team, to whatever like network that we connected to through our kids, through our communities and stuff, and we play a father role to that. We spoke on it was Level Up, Why Me,
What
You Eating was probably one of the dopest episodes we did, man. You want to give them insight on What You Eating, bro?
You on a roll, bro. I'm gonna let you.
Because you really had the insight on What You Eating and stuff.
I mean, like to me, What You Eating comes down to like my Lord and Savior Jesus's words. He was talking about a light can't be hid, right? You don't take a light and hide it under a bed or a bushel or what have you. You take it and put it on something high to be seen by everybody, right? Holy Ghost, help a brother out here, right? And he also said that the eye is the lamp of the body, right? And we gotta be mindful of what we allow our eye to see. And that to me is a bit metaphoric, because it's not just our eye, but what our mind perceives, what we focus our attention intentionally or not on, right? And so, because we're eating that, we may not be physically consuming, but our spirit is being fed. We're choosing to feed these things to our spirit, mm-hmm. or we're like, what's the word? Like unconscious beings just floating around, being steered by whatever the world says.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I like that. I like that. I mean, are you on according to that logic? You know, are you on a steady diet of pornography? Yeah. Are you on a steady diet? Right.
Yeah. What are we consuming? Right. Not just physically, but everywhere in our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. You look at some of these shows nowadays, these reality shows where everybody fighting. I remember one time, man, I was in my early 20s, and me and my homies were at the house, and we all drinking, man. We listening to NWA, and there's a song called Approach to Danger.
Yeah.
Right. And we listen to that, we rocking out. Yeah. Man. We get in the ride, we going to a party, then we listen to that and everything else. And somebody said in the ride, they said, man, listen, every time we listen to this song before we go to a party, we end up in a fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the song just had us like, yeah, let's get it, let's get it. But we was on a diet of let's get it, let's get it. What you looking at? Let's get it.
Kill, maim, and destroy. Yeah. Though, right?
Right?
Right? Right? You remember what was it when we was growing up? Nuck if you bug. Yeah. Nuck if you bug. Right? Right? You go to the party, and every party you go to,
Little John got everybody in there crying.
Right. Little John was sitting there. The West Side. I'm a knock. Right?
Yeah. Right. Right.
Okay. And it's crazy because that's nostalgic for us. Yeah. Right? Because we can all identify with that era and whatnot. But what, like, even Lil Jon, if you're going to talk to him today, he's probably like, yo, that was fun.
Yeah.
But we don't really want to see somebody's head get bust up. Like, that's not cool unless there's a reason. Like, don't just go in the club and start causing chaos for no reason.
Right.
But that's what happens when we invite that, you know what I mean?
We open a portal up, man, where we feed ourselves.
Well,
up,
then
man.
You go to what Tupac said, you know, about I remember when Marvin Gaye used to sing to me, he had me feeling like black was the thing to be, right?
Yeah.
And so that steady diet of this positivity that was coming out of Motown, Tupac was like, okay, I'm feeling that. It's affecting the way I view my blackness because I'm on this steady diet of, it's a trip, man, how did this, whatever you feed your mind with.
Yeah.
That's always finds its way.
That's why I say I like that as one of our top like episodes. I could feel like we could have went way more depth about it, but it's just a constraint of time. We just talked about what we feed ourselves physically, spiritually, financially, mentally, you know, emotionally.
Yeah.
It's about self-preservation and my elevation. That's like really our mission statement for real. So like what you read, what you watch, what you eat, what you listen to.
Yeah.
I mean, we shit what we eat for real. Excuse my language.
No, you're good. You're good.
We like whatever we consume, we produce it as a byproduct, whatever that is. So, like, that's what I talked about growing up in Gary. You know, like all I seen was people selling drugs and gang banging.
Yeah.
I mean, this is prevalent. I mean, when I don't go out there and see the hustlers, you know, I see old Tyrone with a pack on the corner and a gold chain every day. And so, like, growing up, we more subjected to gravitate towards that because that's what we consuming every day on a daily basis, for real.
So tie in that fatherhood thing as you were talking about 100, and then I go back to what Tupac said about the roads that grew from concrete.
Yeah.
Even in those desperate situations, even in these concrete jungles, there's men who are oftentimes fathers, pastors, brothers, uncles, coaches. Hmm. Somebody has to speak life into the young bucks in these neighborhoods, which is why there are a decent number of young folk who make it out with the right mentality. But what's your role in that? It goes back to something you said a second ago. So when you're in those situations, you know, mentors, because this is what 100 Black Men is all about, mentoring. Hmm. Mentors come. Couple things. One of our taglines is mentoring across a lifetime, the 100 way. If you handle mentoring right, if you handle being a mentee right, you mentoring somebody until you're eulogized, and somebody's mentoring you until you are eulogized. Mm. Every level in business and fatherhood, you know, I've kind of mastered this level of father, or I'm proficient at this level of fatherhood. Yeah, but your child about to go to college. Mm. What does that look like?
Yeah.
This man over here has been through that. Or you become a grandfather. What does that look like? This man.
Right.
So you always need mentors, and you're always a mentee.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it comes down to just fulfilling that obligation within the village. Mm. You standing on somebody's shoulders. Who you lifting up to yours. And when you don't, this is where these cycles we talk about
keep coming to play.
There you go.
And one thing my man Jason Roberts said, he used to share information, man. He said most of the time like what keeps the cycles up, man. We get this information, want to be stingy with it.
Exactly.
Don't want to take it back to the block. Don't want to take it back to our communities and let people in on it, what we know. Mm-hmm. Everything want to be a secret, but it's like, how are we going to ever advance as a whole if we all keep an eye? Like, we a puzzle for real.
Yeah.
We all uniquely shaped in a different way with a different benefit. Crazy. So
it's crazy you mention that, because you don't get mad at me, but I believe I just got some insight from a different perspective, right? Because there's a word that says don't throw your pearls out before swine.
Mm.
Okay, because I've been there so many times and got myself harmed just by trying to do the right thing.
Yeah,
but it ain't with the right person.
Yeah,
and that I'm supposed to learn something from that circumstance, because even Christ, when he was out speaking, he didn't speak plainly
to
because right. It wasn't for everyone. It is for everyone, but only if you have the ability to understand.
That is a tricky balance. Huh? That's deep, brother.
Right.
That's deep.
It's crazy. Because I could be robbed out of a house and a home and then be literally just exhausted over serving. In places I wasn't meant to be.
I
was like, the way someone put it to me before is doing things for God without being with him.
Hmm.
Like not listening to how and where to go.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to do this because it's for God.
Like this.
But he's not with me when I'm doing the things because I didn't, you know what I mean? Listen to the right direction or the right signal, the right time, person, whatever. Yeah. I ain't do it right.
Where's the balance? Where's the balance? Where's the balance?
Yeah, it's confusing, ain't it?
Yeah, because
I hope I ain't the only one.
No, you are not, man. You are not. Because, no, you make a valid point. You make a valid point. I've had people that I've helped, and it was worth every second spent.
And more, right?
I've had a person or two that I've helped, and it's blown up in my face drastically. Like,
Lord, you know? I know you saw this.
Or disappointed me greatly. Where's the balance in that? Right. You know what I'm saying?
What other episode? We on this series is called Buck the System. This whole series go against the social norms, man, or what people think cool. This is all about motivating people to individually be themselves, uniquely be yourselves. We perfect as we is, as ourselves. It's challenging people to stand out for real, man.
Yeah.
We talked about like the welfare problems, like social Section 8 problems, schools, districts and stuff, like how most of these systems that was put in place was to like help for a short period of time, but like over the course of time we turned these to longevity, long-term solutions.
Create dependency,
We talked about the prison system, like how most times we supposed to go to jail to be rehabilitated, but we don't. It's the departments of correction with no corrections involved. Mm-hmm. Most time when you go in these places, you got to be self-taught, or you got to be self-willing to teach yourself and correct your own self, you know, under the authority of somebody else. So we just Buck the System is just a whole series that is like very broad for real, talking about like just challenging the perception of how we view things and take the momentum from those things and use them for our best interest for real.
Yeah, Jadakiss said, and why they stop letting brothers get degrees in jail?
Yeah.
Right?
But y'all want the reiteration rate to drop.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I mean, if I'm here for 6 years, 5 years, 16 years, at the very least, let me better myself to the highest of my ability so when I get up out of this joint, I can be an asset to the community and to myself.
It's
and to
a secret behind that.
Of course, man.
It's a billion-dollar industry.
Of course.
I think that Buck the System is another perspective challenger as well, because in my perspective, we're asking the audience to challenge the system that's in place, and not in a way that is an insurrection and overthrowing of said system, but utilizing the system that's in place and working with it to maximize the best outcome for not only me, but my fellow brother as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. My mom, you know, my mom was an early parent, 17 and 19. She had my brother and myself, and she still tells the story. She retired, you know, at a local company here after working almost 40 years. But when she was working her way off welfare, you know, she loves to talk to the young sister that came up behind her. The minute I made $5 too much, couldn't stay in public housing anymore, and I got all these benefits cut off. Now I had a decision to make. Do I power through,
right?
Right?
Yeah.
And now I have to wait and work towards this growth economically so that I can have that side of the equation catch up with all these obligations? Mm. Or do I shrink back and say, you know what, let me get that public housing again, and I'm not knocking public housing. Let me get this benefit, that benefit. But it comes down to, at some point, the dependency cycle, it worked for a minute, but now I got to go ahead and stand on these two so that I can build something. What I'm trying to build, I can't get there from dependency, you know, to complete self-sufficiency. I got to be able to deal with that.
To be a transition.
There you go. And that transitional season is always uncomfortable.
But that's everything in life, though. If you get diagnosed with something where there's a pharmaceutical medication as the solution in this moment, what's the plan to get you out of that? When we went to Iraq under the Bush administration, we didn't get out for however many years because of a lack of planning, right? They say that people never plan to fail, or rarely plan to fail, but rather fail to plan.
That's right. There was no exit strategy.
Exactly. Exactly. You plan halfway through. Yeah. You got getting in, but it's a round trip, ain't it? Or is this a one-way trip?
Yeah.
You sending me on the whole 63 different types of medication by the time I'm 63 every morning? or where are we going with this? We going to help us until we strong enough to run?
Yeah.
Or are you going to slowly cripple me without my awareness?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Because now I'm starting to get mad, and I'm a buck back.
Yeah, and that's like a snapshot of the historical timeline of marginalized communities in countries like this, right? But you're absolutely right. That transition is important. Yes. How it ends is important. It's funny. I'm a big movie buff, man. And along those lines, I know I'm shifting a little bit. You can see a good movie, and at the end of it, when it finally finishes, you like, you didn't put some thought into how to end this thing. You put a whole lot of thought into the meat of the story. Yeah. You know, you think about how to end
and then
this
you
thing.
Need to conclude it.
Right. So you was like, all
right. Right. You know, and you see how it ended. You like, okay, but to your point, every level, the start, the transition, the fit, it's like the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey. One of those principles is beginning with the end in mind, like where you taking this, where you going.
Right.
Where do you foresee yourself landing?
What's the outcome?
What's the destination? Right. I took a class at EC3, shout out to Erie County Community College, and the instructor of this communications class, public speaking.
Yep.
Right. It was a public speaking class. So we did some speeches, and forgive me, dude. What were we just mentioning that brought this up?
The movie.
Beginning with the end in mind.
Too many people have a great point and topic, but they don't keep in mind the destination. Lose their audience. So always, you know, come back and refer back to
there
where you're going
you
so you don't get lost.
Thank you
for getting me back on track. That was a great a great example for the audience.
And I always use the GPS analogy on that. It is the bomb tool if you know where the hell you're going.
Yeah.
If you have no idea where you're going, GPS is of no benefit. Yeah. You just driving on I-90. Where we going? I ain't sure, man, but this machine ain't working. It don't know where you going, man.
Address about it, for real.
You have to be able to know where you're going for it to work for you.
Yeah.
You know, but that's a valuable topic. And so y'all, at the end of the day, you said this is more of a motivational journey to you guys. And it sounds like you're trying to get people to look within and look at kind of the outputs and outcomes of their own journey and like and question why some of these things are, you know.
Man, like for real, I read this book called Atomic Habits, you know, and dude's in his book, he's talking about all this was the last episode we was really talking about on Buck the System, Atomic Habits, this is where it birthed from. He was talking about investing in yourself. You know, if you ain't really getting the results that you want, man, over the course of time, if you smoke, for instance, if you smoke weed, man, like, all right, most people want to just quit smoking weed, go cold turkey. No, just try to, like, not smoke for this minute, next 10 minutes, next 30 minutes. How about this next hour, you know?
Right.
And I mean, just take it like eating the elephant bite by bite and not try to eat it as a whole, you know? And so he was just, like, just talking about how the smallest, minute habits, for real.
Domino over.
Yeah, domino effect to big impacts and outcomes for real. And so the whole joint behind Let's Feel is, like I said, it's motivational, spiritual based. Because, like, in order to change our surroundings, we got to change ourselves first. Bro.
Hey, man, I like that incremental thing. When when we talk to Young Bucks, that's one of my favorite examples, man. I pull up that song from Tupac, Dear Mama. And I always ask these Young Bucks, I said, Tupac said, I love paying rent when the rent is due.
Right.
I said, now that don't sound like a financial or economic goal, but why shouldn't it be? Mm-hmm. You're like, I want a Maserati. I want to buy me a big house in the hills. How about paying the rent on time? How about filling the tank up instead of saying 5 on 20?
Right. Yeah,
these are the real talk. Or when the bill comes, to have the financial wherewithal to be able to just cut the check for the bill or go online and pay the bill when it gets here, instead of having to scramble up into the due date a day or two past. Those are economic goals. Like the electric bill is here.
Yeah.
Well, give me the bill so I can pay it.
Well, ASAP.
That takes financial. But those are goals that, like, we look right over all of that stuff. We want to go straight from struggle to millionaire. No, man, all that stuff in between, those things take a habit.
Yeah.
Paying the electric bill on time every month takes a habit. It takes a discipline.
Yes.
Can we get to that first?
And the process equips.
And
the process.
Say more about that.
Equips. How do you know how in the video games, man, some of the games you get different equipment. Whenever you unlock certain aspects of the game, you embark upon different things. You might discover different things that you get equipped with going on different paths than if you would go the straightforward, obvious route, right? And as you level up, you get different, I don't want to say
attributes.
Authority. Yeah, different attributes, different ways that you can use the different types of equipment, different levels of access that you didn't even know was there until you get equipped with it.
Yeah.
But how'd you get there? Unless you experience the hardship, the wondering, the wandering.
Say that.
Yeah.
Say that.
But not all who wander are lost. Y'all know that too, right?
Yeah, yeah. Rob, you mentioned it when you started out. You mentioned Michael Jordan. Everybody, listen, they always talk about him getting cut from Laney High School as a sophomore, and he did.
Yeah.
You want the Air Jordans. Mm. You want the 6 titles. You want the accolades. You don't want the process.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's the process that builds, you know, that allows you to master whatever it is you're trying to master to get the results that you seek. You don't respect the process, you'll never get the result.
I don't know if it was in this Gary Keller book or what, but it had a book called One Thing I've Been Reading. But it was talking about appreciation of the journey, man, instead of the destination, bro. And he was just talking about the appreciation of the destination comes from the journey, you know, the efforts, the hardships.
Oh, man.
The trials, tribulation, the time you've spent on the journey, it better helps you appreciate the destination when you make it there, you know?
Absolutely.
It ain't always like, you know, most times we see the green grass on the other side, not knowing the path we got to take to get onto the other side, you know? Like, for real. So, I don't know, bro. It's just about self-accountability, man. Just being aware, being honest, being transparent and authentic, letting people know, like, y'all ain't alone. Because I felt crazy and I felt like I was the only person to share these ideas or these thoughts, intrusive thoughts of myself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, until I'm able to start this podcast, people are like, man, I can relate to that. I mean, I struggle with that, bro. I think like that, bro. That made a lot of sense to me.
Mm. Yeah.
Even with Martin coming along with me as a co-host and, like, challenging and playing devil advocate, man. Hold on, bro. I mean, you can say it that way, but look at it this way. You know, it's always help when you got another set of eyes or ears to hear from a different perspective, bro.
Bro, why do you think we got two eyes? I literally just dawned as you were speaking.
Yeah, it's 3D.
Right. Because if we have one eye, then you literally only have one frame of reference. There's lies being brought to like, literally, you're so much more blind.
For real.
So then think about when we have a different person's perspective, right? We have a totally different frame of reference from their two eyes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep. See, I told you I'm a movie buff. You were talking about that. The journey, you know, the result is appreciated because of the journey.
Yeah.
And that reminds me of that scene from Shawshank Redemption when Andy Dufresne escapes.
Yeah.
Right. He chips away at the wall for umpteen days and nights for week after week, and they don't even know because he's got that Rita Hayworth poster over it. Then he crawls through all of that sewage, through the sewage and everything. When he gets out on the other side, dig this now. That scene where he gets out and it's raining and he holds his hands up and he just lets the rain wash over him. That was symbolism, right? That was everything, all the time spent in that cell, all of the work that it took to get this freedom. you think about it, they could have just showed him getting out of the pipe and running in the rain.
Yeah.
But taking that 5 minutes to just say, man, let me soak in the moment. Because it took so much work to get here.
Right? Right.
And so you're celebrating that. Yeah. Right? With this podcast. Yeah. And we should do that.
Yeah.
You know, when you get to the other side of a particular level or a particular trial, take that second or two and be in the moment and say, you know what? Hold on. Let's move on to the next level. Right. Give me a second. Let me give praise, you know, meditate, whatever your process is, so that I can celebrate the fact that I got over that.
Right. Yeah. See, you have something. I can do more.
Exactly. And so now you can look forward and be like, I can get over that because I got over this. Sometimes we move so fast to the next thing, like, oh, slow down and look back. You just climbed over that. We forgot, get that, right?
To, like, pat ourselves on the back and say we did that for real.
Right, bro. I did it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, that makes perfect sense because that's another topic that we recently just started discussing with my personal therapist. One of the last things that he brought up to me was go where you're celebrated. Rather than tolerated. And it blew my mind because the simplicity, the simple denseness of my mind at times does not allow simple concepts like this to dawn until a brother or a sister comes outside and says the obvious.
Come on.
Why don't you just go where you're celebrated, Morgan? Why are you trying so hard where you're tolerated? And I says, you know what? God bless you. You're right, man. I needed to hear that. I don't want to hear it.
But you need it.
But I needed to hear that, and thank you very much.
And this is the cautionary tale for that person that's listening. And you got that hater on your crew, and you keep him or her around, and you see that they hating on your progress.
Oh, but I need to hate. It helped me.
Help fuel. What type of fuel you using?
Exactly.
Because the wrong type of fuel clog up the carburetor and stuff, bro.
There's a difference between... there's a difference between you hold me accountable as a friend and you hating on me.
Yeah.
And we always fail to differentiate the two. And you keep that hater in your inner circle.
Wow.
Right?
I'm getting chills right now because one of the words I believe I read this morning in Proverbs 27, correct me if I'm wrong, Holy Ghost, talk about jealousy.
Yeah.
Being one of the deepest the worst thing, worse than foolishness, right? The even worse than a foolish man is jealousy, right?
Because
it allows us to go into such decrepit, strange thoughts.
See.
Oh, she doing this, that, and then you look and figure out, that was a very narrow-minded perspective that did not at all, that was a whole lie.
I'm chomping at the bit. Let's take that to the next level. Let's talk about the Ten Commandments. That tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet. Let's talk about that because coveting takes close proximity.
Ooh.
I can be jealous of Rob from the outside. Yeah. Oh, man, he's got a beautiful wife, blah, blah, blah. And I don't really know this dude all like that, but I see him at events.
Yeah.
I see him at the game. Man, she fine. But if I'm a part of his inner circle and I talk to her, I'm in her home hanging out with Rob. I see her going back and forth to the kitchen. Not that, you can covet because you up close. That's the fear. And the caution of having the wrong person in your inner circle. You think about everything the Bible says about Satan. He was in close proximity. He saw up close. Man, this Most High thing is all that.
Yeah,
look at how they relate to this person.
Right.
Look at how they worship. Look at how they, I want that. I always say, and I'll throw it off to y'all on this. Congressmen and senators can be jealous of the president. The vice president and the speaker of the House, they can covet that thing because they're second and third in command.
Right, okay.
They can see it. They feel it. They can taste it. It's like, I'm close to it. You a senator. You a congressman. You ain't seeing it, feeling it, tasting it like me. I see the inner world. I want that. And so this is why I said all that to say, who you invited to that inner sanctuary, that's oftentimes where it's made or broken.
Wow.
And you're like, man, I'm going backwards. I'm standing still. Check your circle, bro. You got a hater or two.
Man, right. What do you think about that?
Does that remind you of what we've been talking about theme-wise last couple weeks?
What you mean?
My brother's success.
Oh, it's predicated upon my success. That's one of the keynotes we got from the Level Up and Loosen Level series, that like only way I'm able to level Praise up God. Or break a cycle is through the success of another brother of mine.
Right.
Through help, you know?
Right.
Yeah, you brought that up, and you were just talking about something about the inner circle. I've been listening on the audio book, 50 Cent. Hustle Hard, Hustle Smarter book, bro. For us in the culture, for us from the hood, it relates to it. I appreciate what 50 did, bro. He put it in layman's terms to somebody that would be more subjected to pick up a hood novel to read a book about self-improvement than to put in these big old astronomical words that overwhelm somebody. But he talked about the duality of personalities and also having the discernment of who to surround yourself with in your crew, man. Because he said your crew going to make you or break you, for real. That's what it all comes down to, that covenant part. What you was just talking about, I ain't going to name drop, but I experienced that. It had to take me some time. Like, it had to take me years to sit back and, like, really process, like, is they for me or against me?
Exactly.
Like, if you was my friend, the way you worded that doesn't sound like a friendship or something, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, people use the word love out of manipulation, man, to keep you stagnant, for real, because they benefiting off your profits, for real, bro. The Bible talk about that even the dog under the table get crumbs, you know.
Right.
Some people satisfied with just the crumbs,
right,
and they gonna do whatever they can to just keep coming around for that, man. Not always saying that's good enough for your growth, bro. Sometimes, like, for myself speaking, I had to, like, really sit back and discern who to cut off, who to move forward with.
Mm-hmm. And that become easier the more experience we get, right?
Exactly.
More clarity we get.
You can identify it easier.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Trial and error. I think that was the episode we had by accident.
That's so crazy, though, because even this morning, you know, I went to go smoke a cigarette before we went to the men's group meeting, right? And I step outside, and then I realize I'm at a children's art program or something. I'm admiring, you know, the children's artwork around and stuff, and, you know, just being meditative and whatnot, and I see a figure moving toward me. Now I'm like, the first thing that pop in my head is, this person need a cigarette. And then, you know, that leads down to the strange rabbit hole of, oh, whenever I got some, that's when those opportunities come up for the things that bother me. So it's going to test if, you know, my generosity. Am I really mad that I only got a couple cigarettes left in this or am I going to be appreciative that I have a couple cigarettes and just be grateful enough to let that overflow? So, you know, the man comes over, and it was weird because he kept walking whenever he said something. I didn't hear what he said, so I you know, tried to exchange with him. He walked past me, stopped, turned around, and then began to engage with me and ask for a cigarette. So I gave him the cigarette, and I, you know, appreciate the opportunity to do so. And then, you know, say, God bless you, you know, and peace. And he gets to the end of, you know, the walkway, and he asks me about an illicit drug. Some might know ice, whatever. It's not something I've messed with or whatever. I'm like, man, I just love the Lord, bro. And, you know, he's like, I feel you on that. Enough said. Have a good day. And I'm like, but these little things, it's not strange to me anymore, because I've had little, tiny, little weird things pile up over the past dozen years or so. So many times that I expect things now, and it helps my mentality to approach it with a different perspective. Instead of being so scorning and rude and why can't people do that, I start to understand where they've been, what they've been through. Yeah. If the man wanted to open up and have a conversation to you know, soothe his heart, if he had something on his heart, then we could have talked about it.
Right.
But he got what he needed. I said a little prayer in my heart, kept it moving.
Yeah.
And that's just what I had to keep it as. It don't, you know, be ruminating throughout the day, oh man, people always taking what I have and this. No, I'm grateful I have to give.
I'm trying to remember who said it, because literally somebody just said this yesterday or the day before, and I really want to give them credit for it. And, you know, rather than focusing on, you know, why did Marcus do that, or why does Marcus do,
right,
why not focus on the real question is, you know, what happened to Marcus?
Ooh.
Because, like you said, all of this is coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, so why does Jim act like that? Now the question is, well, what happened to Jim?
Right.
Because that behavior, especially if there's a loop.
Yeah.
There was a genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Something set that thing in motion. If you can focus, I actually think I heard T.D. Jakes said, if you can focus on the thing that, or acknowledge the fact that something set that thing in motion, then empathy kicks in quicker. Because in your mind, you acknowledge something happened to that brother.
Right.
That's what,
right,
that behavior is coming from, some, and it wasn't positive.
Right.
And if that's my perspective, I approach him different. It's like, man, why you act like that? I'm dealing with the exterior, the actions. Mm. I can judge that easier.
Right. The symptoms.
The symptoms. Yeah. But to say, man, something happened to this brother. That, I got to try to step in your shoes to even, mm-hmm. you know, continue on with this exchange.
Mm. Right.
That's deep. That's deep. Being in the fellowship, bro, it's mm-hmm. one of the St. Peter's prayers talks about we seek to be understood. Seek to be understanding more than be understood, yeah. bro. And
which is difficult to practice.
Difficult. And I feel like
that's first at least.
That's real, bro. That's what we're here for, to be real. That's difficult. And mm-hmm. that's like what we talked about in some of the episodes too, bro. Just like, I mean, in order for me to understand how to like level up or break a cycle, I got to be understanding of the next person. Yeah. I got to be understanding of the problem to even to get help.
Ooh, we got to have a heart. Huh. That's another staple that I speak on, bro, is that defense that we put in our mind.
Mm. The wall.
Yes, the because calluses. From another person's offense, in my perception, that they have offended me, my mind creates a fence between I and that man.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead, okay? Brother.
And I've got to learn to become understanding of, like, you remember Tim Allen?
Yeah.
He had his neighbor. He probably wasn't always happy with his neighbor.
Never seen him, dude.
But he didn't even have to see him. He could still connect over the fence.
That's right. That's
about
right.
whatever was going on. They shared each other's heart. They had a heart-to-heart connection, even though there was a fence between them.
Never seen each other's faces.
Never right. Man, if there was something to be offended by, they decided to put it down and start discussing the root nature of the problem rather than getting offended that this brother is the one that the problem is around.
Yeah,
right?
Man.
Or through or what have you.
Yeah, that's that's that powerful scene. Yeah. That resonates with so many black men, and it brings a tear to my eye every time I see it. That episode where Will Smith's father came into his life and left him again. And Will goes through that whole speech about I learned to ride my first bike without him. Yeah. I dated my first honey without him. I did this without him. I did that without him.
TikTok
I've been doing. Yep, I've been doing real well without him. And at the end, he said what so many of us grew up feeling like, man, why don't he want me?
Yeah.
How come he don't want me?
Bro,
that's really what it all comes down to. You know, you mess a kid's head up by making them feel like the person that gave birth to or created them doesn't want them.
Yeah,
man, that was a topic. That was a segment in episode of Self Pity John. I dealt with that, man. Growing up, with my mom being in the streets as an active addict and stuff, bro. That was a chip I wore on my shoulder my whole life, bro. Oh, like, man, why I wasn't good enough for my mom to, like, stop smoking crack? You know what I mean? And, like, we don't talk about the drug addiction that destroyed the disenfranchised families where we come from, bro, because, like, we grew – that's a stigma, man. That's something we grew up with. Like, man, I ain't good enough for her.
Yeah, because kids don't know. They don't understand the fact that it's an addiction.
Yeah, and I ain't realized that until I went through mine. You hear me? And, like, the way my higher power work, man, the God of my understanding, sometimes you don't understand, so you got to go through something, you know what I mean? Right. Mm-hmm. So you can get some understanding.
Come on.
Man builds character, bro.
Hey, for real. So
how is she going to be unique?
Man, I don't know. And like, look, cookie cutter, for real.
Right? And you can't judge it. It's that Martin Malcolm paradigm I talk about often. You know, Martin high school graduate at 15 and college graduate by 19, you know, gets his doctorate degree shortly thereafter by his mid-20s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his greatness, he comes from a well-established family.
Yeah.
You know, he's a junior and completely different journey. Malcolm needed jail. Malcolm actually needed jail to find himself. That was a part of his development process. Mm-hmm. And the point is, I don't care what Martin's journey looked like compared to Malcolm's. Your journey wasn't better than his. Yeah. His process was just his process. Mm. You both ended up at a certain level of greatness that was comparable. Mm. I think we can all argue that. Mm. So whether it's you having to get high, you having to have a broken family, whatever, whatever, you having to be diagnosed with some rare disease, there's a process that builds us if we let it.
If we let it.
Right.
If we let it.
I'm glad that you circled back to that, because if I may interject, there's a song that was just ringing in my mind, and I couldn't think of the artist, the song, and I just pondered a little bit, and God, it's called Tie My Hands by Lil Wayne and Robin Thicke. You know, in the chorus, you tie my hands, what am I gonna be? What have I done so bad? What is my destiny? You tie my hands, what am I supposed to see? What have I done so bad? What am I gonna be? And then verse 5, Lil Wayne says, yeah, and if you come from under that water, then there's fresh air. Just breathe, baby. God's got a blessing to spare. Yes, I know the process is so much stress, but it's the progress that feels the best. Because I came from the project straight to success, and you're next. So try it. They can't steal your pride. It's inside.
Come on.
Then find it and keep on grinding, because in every dark cloud, there's a silver lining. I know.
That's heavy.
Heavy, right? I remember before I knew the Lord listening to this song, man, I got the same chills I get now when I speak the words.
Yeah.
Man, yeah. Deep.
Now, see, that is born from something real.
Mm-hmm.
That's after Katrina. That's after
that
Katrina.
That was his heart.
And you know what? I'm a segue into something somewhat negative and judgy from that.
Fair enough.
That's the thing that frustrates me, man, with this modern music scene, yeah. Man. Because in so many ways, like what you just read, that sent chills up my spine.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And I know that that's one of the things I loved about Tupac, because he mixed it up. Sometimes he talked about partying, sometimes he talked about women, other times he talked about history and blah blah. Mix it up, because life is a diverse experience.
Yes.
But man, for so many of y'all to just go, I sold another brick. My haters is hating, you know. And I smacked this chick and she got a big, but I'm like, dude, another one.
Another one, bro. that's why me and bro, we collect so on a different level, because I don't need, like, I done drew away from like mainstream hip hop, bro. Cause like you said, it's watered down, saturated.
Every
song I done sold 100 grams of fentanyl.
Oh my God.
I done shot 1,000 guns in every song I done heard. Right. And it's like what we said, what we eat, bro. That's feeding the community. Yeah.
There's
real,
a
bro.
Whole new level. We got into vibrations and everything.
Yeah.
A whole new level of art that is emerging and forming and transforming in an industry that's almost underground, but it's right wherever you want to look, as long as you open your eyes. It's right in front of us. But I swear to goodness, it feels like 99.8% of the population don't have no idea this entire genre exists.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
I was amazed whenever you were identified any of the songs I listened to, bro. I was like, I put this on and people will be getting like either offended or they like, what's up with this dude? Man, I don't really appreciate the way that people do this with the gangster rap and this, that.
Hey, that's how they're looking at Andre 3000 for his flute album right now.
That's the frequencies we talking about, bro. Like, they don't understand it, but that's music, though, bro.
Who else is on Terrence Howard being on the frequencies, man? We can get in a lot of that.
Dre said, I'm breaking out the flute, man. Yeah. I think I'm playing.
No, who brought out the flute way back? Timberland.
Oh, yeah. That's what used to make a lot of
the Indian
song.
Flute. Remember the Indian flute song? Yeah, bro. The tones, man. Think about it, though, for real. You know, the in like China and all that, they got flutes, and you listen to them. It
soothes
it.
It
soothes the spirit, right? The Native American flutes.
Yes.
Right? I was just listening to some classical, talking to my other half about it last night and explaining, you know, she's like, I don't understand. It's boring to me. I'm like, this is all people have.
Yes,
listen to artwork, I think about what the audience must have been perceiving at the time in which this must have been, you know, undertaking.
Yeah.
You had no music. You had no magic device to just play.
Come
you
on.
Had to get people together to make tones and sounds. And, oh, my goodness.
I ain't gonna lie, bro. I got into classical music when I was just in jail.
Yeah.
And like Beethoven and all the orchestras for symphonies.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, first off, I was mind blown how 100-some people can play in tune at the speed of light.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they worked a lot, I bet.
And it works in harmony.
Yeah, in straight harmony.
That's deep.
And there's a spirit that flows through.
Yeah,
that,
for
man.
Real. Just the camaraderie of the spirit, bro.
Yeah.
Unity. And that was amazing to me, and just the different sounds, bro. And it's no vocals to it. It's just all sounds and soothing, bro.
Goes back to my love of movies, brother. I always say, you know, some movies have soundtracks.
Yeah.
Some movies have scores.
Hmm.
I always say, man, about black movies, I'm like, too many of y'all got soundtracks. Y'all need a nice score. And I think about movies like, I mentioned Shawshank Redemption. That's Thomas Newman. That's one of my favorite composers, man. You know, Shawshank Redemption, American Beauty, The Road to Perdition. You listen to some of the music, this hauntingly beautiful music that Thomas Newman produces, man. I got it in the ride right now. I got a playlist on Apple Music, man. And it just soothes my spirit. Some of it makes me introspective, you know, when I'm feeling some kind of way. Either way it goes, it taps into a different side of me.
Yeah.
And I always say I'm so diverse with the music that I love because I'm a lot of different people and I have a lot of different experiences. Mm. You know, so certain songs by certain artists, there's some country western songs that speak to me.
Yeah.
There's some rock and roll songs that speak. There's, you know, music, period.
Right. Just
period.
Art. I was just at the wheel with my friend. She was like, you listen to country? I said, I got a couple country songs up the sleeve.
And? Are you offended?
A couple rock and roll was up the sleeve, you know? Like,
man, there's a song called by Bonnie Raitt. It was actually remade by Will Downing, who sings jazz, and then it was remade by Prince. It's called I Can't Make You Love Me.
Wait, who's it by?
Bonnie Raitt.
I think I might have just heard that yesterday. Listen, no lie, when I was listening to WQLN.
Anybody who's ever been, like, sincerely in love with somebody, and you feel like it hasn't been reciprocated, you listen to that song and tell me you can't relate. Mm. I mean, it is so, oh man, soulful and everything else, but it's a real thing.
Now we get back to the process, though.
There we go.
Because you know how many times I've been, I got this feeling, I can't get it out of my system, I don't know what to do with it, but I can't keep running from it no more, so then I finally face the feeling, tears come out, you know, cries come out, laughs come out, nostalgia, I go on a journey in my mind, I start correcting my perception on some things I experienced in the past. Yeah. I start realizing somebody else experienced this because they put out art that shows their heart.
And it goes back to the purpose of y'all podcast in the first place. As black men, we are not taught to publicly proclaim all of these human emotions.
Yeah. You know what and just gave me chills?
Hmm.
That's the equipping.
Exactly.
That's the equipping. Exactly. Going back and replaying that chapter.
Right. We don't want to talk about that.
But from our men's lens. Mm. Because when I was a child, I thought as a child and spoke like a child.
Yeah.
I still do at times. I'm still a child in many respects. But as a man.
Yes.
Growing into the man I'm becoming, I look differently on those encounters.
That goes back to the best music era in history, and not just the black community in America. You look at like the Motown era, all of these emotions we talking about, you go back and listen to those songs. They put it in music, bro.
And when did that coincide historically? After the Depression, right?
Come on.
I'm talking about like the old Negro spirituals.
Everybody's going through it.
For real, bro.
We're going through another depression right now, bro. But don't nobody call it that.
Don't nobody reflect the music of that. You know what I mean? Mm-mm. How many artists you hear reflect that music, though?
I'm hearing it. There's a song, it's off from the genres that we probably particularly listen to, but it's so popular now. What's it called? It's like Vermont's, it's called Stick Season. Dude's talking about it gushed tears at me when I heard it a couple months ago. It was on one of the late night shows. He's talking about I love Vermont this time of season. It's a season of the sticks, you know. You don't see nothing but sticks on the mountaintops with the trees now, right? So I resonate with that because there's something about the cold cleansing winters that resonates with me, that's intrinsic. I sit back and look and reflect, right? And he's like, I tried to say hi to your mom, but she don't recognize me no more. She don't pay me no attention. It started making me grow these familiar feelings that are uncomfortable with how it felt with a separation in my past, right? And now I'm in the process of recovering. So I remember, you know, reflecting on this before, but when this song come and I'm listening to it, it's like almost like a closure. That like, okay, you went through it too, and now I'm like realizing it doesn't hurt so much anymore. It's just like, you know, the tears come because maybe it's like paying homage, respect, or you will. You know what I mean? It's just part of what comes, but I'm still, the processing is completing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, our 100 Black Men convention in Vegas this past year, man, there was a symposium on music
okay.
and hip-hop. And to go back to what you're saying, Rob, about the, because I think music is such a powerful tool. There's a reason why a lot of these kings, musicians, had to have licenses. Musicians, playwrights, because they recognize the power of media. When you write a play and you have people watch it, that's propaganda. There's a reason why, you know, these dictators have oftentimes used propaganda to their advantage. Right. That's why they feared Bob Marley, as you see in that reggae. That's why they feared, you know, John Lennon. Music moves people. Right? And all of these experiences. Wow. And so back in the day, you know, you had the party songs, but you also had, you know, things are going to get easier, right? You also had Sam Cooke, Change is going to come, all of these emotions, and now it's so one-dimensional. Only thing our Young Bucks is being fed. It's slap
not,
that chick.
Not emotional that. Music. Not emotional music.
Angry, man. Sexual, dude. Period.
Killing. and like, I think that's also what we come to the podcast for, because it's just like just the mental state of things, bro. Mm-hmm. We, as men, as I'm speaking in general, don't like to acknowledge the mental aspects of things, bro. As Black culture, we definitely don't pay attention to mental health awareness, bro. Because we always talk suck it up, could be a chump.
That's it.
Could be a little punk, you know what I mean? And with music now, bro, we don't even get that therapy through what music was for us. Once
exactly.
Fun, bro. Music
there's
was
the
that
point.
Therapy.
There's
know?
The
like,
point.
Wow. There's I feel like
the
we
point.
Missing that for real.
There's the point. There's the point.
And so, like, I like music. And it's just like, man, everybody's making music. So I'm going to get drowned out. So what can I do different to make my voice be known? Let me step outside my comfort zone.
Yes.
Let me use my experiences and get real with people.
Hey,
you know?
There's a reason why that person that was separated or divorced or they just had a loved one die and they sit back and they listen to Luther. A chair is still a chair.
Oh, yeah.
A house is not a home because this is this building that I'm in takes on a different connotation when this loved one, be it through death or divorce, is no longer here.
Yeah.
It ain't the same. And you listen to stuff like that when you're in it because it was your therapy.
You know what?
Speak to me, Luther. Speak to me.
That's a father responsibility, though. And I got that from my mom because, unlike a lot of men that I know growing up, my dad left when I was 3, you know, and I didn't see him again until he was in a casket. When I came home from Iraq in 2010, right? And man, I think it's a responsibility that we have to teach our children better.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
We have to carry on those things that I remember when I was growing up. I remember my mom listening to Luther Vandross. You don't know Luther Vandross? Oh, yes. And listening to Brian McKnight, Brian Adams, right? People that I thought was corny when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And then I didn't realize the seeds that were being planted because of the trials and tribulations that I would encounter throughout life. And then the decades later, those seeds that were planted, those things that I didn't remember, but I knew the tune. And when I heard the tune, I saw the song title, I could search it online,
back.
And I could be able to play it back any point in time as an instant weapon to that negative feeling that's trying to slaughter me.
Yeah, yeah.
I was telling my boy the other day, there was a Bob Marley song called Smile Jamaica. I was so down and out with some feelings I have not experienced in a while. They're familiar, but like long time ago familiar that came back up. It wasn't until I went home and I heard the song come on, the vibes come on.
That's right.
I'm already getting soothed out. And then the words behind the vibes said, a man came up whenever I was down and out and said, Dredd, you're in Jamaica. Look up and smile. You're in Jamaica.
Yeah.
And then I realized, like, yo, I'm in America.
Yeah.
In the land of the free. It doesn't matter my circumstance. I have opportunity.
There it is.
That's all I need.
There it is. There it is. That's one of the things that was so infectious about Bob Marley is you could see him feeling everything he's saying.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, he was. Yeah. And you just watching him zone out.
He was zoned.
Yeah.
I watched this documentary on him the other day. They said that whenever he had, I think it was a Smile Jamaica concert, that they were in Jamaica.
Yeah.
I think Stevie Wonder came to play with them too, right? Or it was after a Stevie Wonder concert. All these people, there was like 100,000 people rushed toward the stage to get in, the people that weren't able to get in. And then they sent tear gas.
Mm.
They said all the musicians had dipped out. And they looked up, and Bob turned around and said,
I guess we know who the true revolutionaries are.
Because he's still in his, he's acting like nothing happened. People can't breathe, and Bob is sitting there,
you're in Jamaica. Don't worry. When everybody going, man, it's all smoky around here.
I'm not bad at it. Well, Rob, take us out of here, man. Tell us the name of the podcast again, how people can find it. Tell us about that before we leave here.
The name of the podcast is Let's Fail. Yeah, you heard me right. F-A-I-L. We on Spotify. We on Apple Podcasts. We on YouTube.
Any major streaming platforms.
Any major streaming platform. Samsung Podcast, iHeartRadio Podcast. Anything you can find a podcast on, we there, man. Or you can always reach out to Let's Fail the podcast at gmail.com or whatever.
Let's Fail. The podcast or the podcast?
The T-H-E.
Yeah. All right. Podcast. We don't want to confuse our listeners. We want to make sure we're as transparent and clear as possible.
Yeah. Well, listen, I certainly appreciate you brothers, Rob Davis, Martin Long. I appreciate you brothers for coming on and just talking about your experiences, your podcast. I'm excited about your podcast. For my listeners, go check these brothers out. As you can hear, this was a great discussion, and it really delves deep into just what's going on internally and some of the things that are happening around us and how all of these things work in consort. And what are you learning from all of it, man? Very inspirational. That's it for our show today. Tune in next time for more discussion and analysis with local and national guests. I want you to remember this. Next 2.0 streams on Fridays on all major podcast platforms and on the fourth Sunday of the month at 4 p.m. on WQLN NPR PBS. That is 91.3 FM. I'm Marcus Atkinson. Come join us again so that you can hear about what's next for our communities and our democracy. Peace.